Good evening. Welcome again to A Feminist Perspective. I'm Emily Taylor, the Dean of Women at the University of Kansas. And I have with me tonight two staff members, Dr. Carol Smith and Casey Ikey. In the fall of 1971, information concerning a new awareness on the part of women was coming rather thick and fast. Newspaper articles, magazine articles, books were beginning to be written. And at that point, we decided in our office that we should attempt to share some of the material that was coming to us and established this radio program, A Feminist Perspective. We started in January of 1972, and tonight begins the fourth season for this program. Our purpose at that time was, and it continues to be today, to provide a forum for women to speak publicly on issues of concern to them, and to help inform other women and men of the movement which is remaking the shape and substance of women's and men's lives. We've never changed our basic reason for these programs, although of course the topics themselves do change from time to time. Tonight we wanted to acquaint you with our plans in general for this year and with the Women's Resource and Career Planning Center in our office. So let's begin by asking you, Carol, to give some idea of the kinds of topics that we would propose to deal with this year.
Thank you. We thus far have worked with KANU, and we have developed an outline of what we will be trying to do during the months of September and October in some detail. Beyond that point, we have a lot of ideas, some of which we want to share with the audience tonight. During September and October, we will be trying to set the stage for the rest of the year. We have a new feature. We hope that the audience will like it. We hope that we will like working with it. The first program of each month, starting next week, September 9, with the first program of each month, will be Feminist News Digest. And we hope during those programs, the News Digest programs once a month, to bring to the audience some of the newsworthy notes, books, records, items of personal concern and interest that will affect them and their interest, we hope, in the feminist movement. We hope that this is something that becomes a very viable part of our total programming. Later in the month of September, we will have a program devoted to Title IX guidelines, their implications for education. That's an exceedingly timely topic, since the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare will continue to receive comments and urges the public to comment on the proposed guidelines through the middle of October. So we want to help make the public more aware of this opportunity to comment and some of the overriding issues in the proposed guidelines early in the month. We also will be covering some current news and current changing scene at the University of Kansas about women in sports. We will have two programs during October dealing with women in politics and leading up to the November elections. During the entire year, we hope that we'll be becoming much more flexible in the ways that we put on the programs, and the newly expanded facilities of KANU are going to help us in this a great deal. We will have at least one program in October, which we probably will tape out of the studio on location, hopefully at a workshop, which we would like to share with the listeners. And then this is the first of several programs that we hope will be very innovative in format and technique, which is something new for us. Later in the year, we have not set definite dates with definite programs, but we have a lot of ideas, In fact, we want to elicit more ideas from the radio listeners, and we invite them to respond to us. Some of the things that we hope to deal with during the rest of this semester will be a series of programs about the male feminist, the black feminist, the roles of campus women. We hope to deal with career forecasts during the next decade, and we will indeed be doing some kind of a year-end wrap-up to review what's happened to women during 1974. In the coming year, we certainly will be devoting ourselves to a lot of topics, but we hope to leave space and ourselves flexible enough to respond to the interests of viewers and to the changing scene. I mentioned that we would like to invite the listeners to respond by postcard to us, writing to Dean Emily Taylor in 220 Strong Hall, University of Kansas in Lawrence. Please tell us your questions or your concerns or suggest topics that you would like to see us deal with on a feminist perspective. We mentioned questions. These could be questions that are of personal concern to you, and if you indicate that, we will respond to you individually and personally. But I think that this might help us.
Mm-hmm. One of the very common things which happens in our office are telephone calls and letters from people who have a particular problem, and we attempt to deal with that, to tell them either where they can get the information they want or provide that information ourselves. We'd like to make use of this radio program to expand this service to the entire listening area, and to make clear to all listeners that we are happy to respond to any question which they might have. If it's a matter of general interest, then we would comment on it in the program itself. If it's a personal thing, we will, of course, respond to a person who asks us on a completely confidential basis. All you need to do is to let us know whether or not it's something that you would like everybody to hear, or whether it's a personal thing which you want an answer to yourself.
And we will give that address again at the end of the program. So get your pencils ready if you'd like mm-hmm. to write to us. We would like to hear from you.
This is a service of the Women's Resource and Career Planning Center, and simply expanded to include the entire radio audience. And I think we ought to comment on who is the radio audience. We don't really know, you know, who is listening, but we know who we'd like to have listen. And do you folks want to comment on that? I mean, what women are we trying to reach? Just college women or university-trained women?
Well, I think basically we'd like to reach all women, and not just the KU student and not even just the Lawrence community. I think that we are also very interested in hearing from men and the kinds of topics that they would like to hear and to talk about and have questions about also.
Oh, very mm-hmm. definitely. I guess that one thing we should make clear is that it's certainly not in any way designed to be limited to people who are college or university interested or related. And another thing is that we hope the program is not geared, and it's not designed to be geared, just to people who are committed feminists or potential feminists as far as they feel. We would like to think every woman's a potential feminist. But we think that indeed we ought to be offering a public service of informing the adult public, the interested young adult public, in what's going on and what the major concerns of the movement are.
I would go beyond the adult public to point out that during the past year particularly, there was increasing interest on the part of young people mm-hmm. All the way down to the junior high school.
Definitely.
In fact, in one of our programs last year, we had a junior high school student
two.
Who spoke
mm-hmm.
about the matters which were of particular concern, in this case, to her. Mm-hmm. Young men also are very much involved. We haven't really defined a feminist perspective. You've referred, Carol, several times to a feminist. Would you like to offer some kind of an explanation as to what this means? What you referred, for instance, to a committed feminist. What is a committed feminist? What are they committed to?
I guess that someone who was a committed feminist would be indeed committed to the ideals behind the feminist movement or the women's movement. And this would mean, in very broad general terms, but indeed it's appropriate, that these people or this person, male or female of whatever age, was committed to the ideals of human equality. And this, there are lots and lots of, well, just all facets of our life are thus affected. And that's what we hope to share with you by talking about a feminist perspective of life, of contemporary life.
So a feminist doesn't have to be a female.
No.
Or any particular color. Any.
Or age.
Or age, that's right.
Or temperament in terms of you do not need to be a radical. There are lots of people who are very conservative or who would say they're very, very conservative, but who are very committed feminists.
So those who believe in the opportunity for people to make their own choices, which includes everything from what might be considered by some the most conservative choices to those who wish to make choices that are very different from what the community has ordinarily thought of as appropriate roles for men or for women are included. The idea of choice is tremendously important and I think sometimes very much misunderstood, so that we occasionally hear people saying that the women's movement is concerned with getting all women to do some particular thing, all women to work, all women to join the armed forces, all women to do any particular thing. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The principles of equality of opportunity mean that all opportunities are open to all citizens, and that the choice, an informed, intelligent choice, can be made only by the individual who is living the particular life and not by someone else. Obviously, with every individual, there are other people who are concerned about those decisions, and they and we in no way mean to imply that that there's not a community of interest in the decisions that individuals make. But we do very much object to the notion that the society as a whole should set up the rules which say that women do certain things and men do certain things, occupations, for example. There is no occupation now that does not include both men and women, and we would like to expand that to the point where every individual, man or woman, feels free to make whatever choice is right for him or for her.
And we can't quite go beyond that point without saying that this certainly does involve informing society at large so that people are aware that they have these opportunities,
right,
once that the opportunities are secured.
So in a sense, the radio program is an expansion of, or is a part of, the work of the Women's Resource and Career Planning Center. And Casey, would you like to talk a little bit about the kinds of things which our office is concerned about?
All right. I'll start with a little past history. In 1968 and 1969, some of the very first articles began appearing in some of the magazines and newspapers around the country. And in the summer of 1969, the Dean of Women's Office had the foresight to gather up these first articles, seeing that this may indeed be the beginning of a deluge of like articles. And this was actually the beginning of the Women's Resource Library. It started with one notebook. It was a very fat notebook, but it still was only one notebook, which had different sections on different topics. Most of the topics from that era, or if we can refer to something so recent as an era, were very general kinds of statements on what is the women's movement. You know, this is a brand new subject, and so they're very general articles. I think it's really interesting to go back and read some of those very first articles to really gain a perspective on where we are now in relation to what people were saying even that short length of time ago. Now, in the Women's Resource and Career Planning Center, we have over 100 topical notebooks that were begun from this one notebook
What you mean by a topical notebook. How do you have it arranged? What are some examples of the kinds of things you could find there?
All right. We have notebooks which range from one entitled Women and the Law, the Equal Rights Amendment, affirmative action plans, abortion, daycare, women's studies, women's newsletters, birth control, and on and on and on. I won't obviously go through all of them, but we do have a handout which is available from our office which does list most of the notebooks. So if you do have a particular topic that you'd like to either research or learn more about, you can find the whole notebook which has much information on that particular topic in that. I've often said to students, anyway, that there's probably enough information in the Women's Resource Library to write thousands of term papers. So that's one use that we do have for the resource library.
Certain times of the year we think that's being done, too, when you try to walk through there.
Right, exactly. And then we do like to, whatever research is being done with the notebooks, we usually get a copy of what the paper that is written, and that helps other people learn more about the different topics, too.
Should we say something about how we acquire those? Because I think that's interesting, and we also would welcome other people to contribute.
Right.
Articles.
We have received many articles from the community, people in the community that come across an article. A lot of the staff members, not only just in the Dean of Women's office, but in other offices as well, will go on trips and be reading a paper in New Orleans or something and see an article and send it to us or bring it back. The residence halls, which take newspapers and magazines, will send us clippings. And we certainly, I can't emphasize it enough, welcome whatever articles that you might come across. We'd really appreciate having either the article or we could copy the article and send it back to you.
Especially if it's from a not usually available journal or magazine.
Right.
Because many people in the community or in the university situation receive as a regular part of their work journals or magazines or printouts or documents from their professional organizations that we would have no access to, but which might upon occasion have tremendously relevant material for us.
That's right. Every professional magazine now does, but so do magazines of general interest. And the fact that it is impossible for anyone to read all of this material means that in order to make a collection which really can serve as a history of what's happening to both men and women in the whole movement toward equality of opportunity for all citizens, does require that we that a lot of people assist with the process of getting it all together. I think it's very interesting that at first, and back in 1969 and 70, most of the articles that appeared in newspapers were really firsts. They were about the first woman carpenter, the first woman who did this, that, and the other. We still see some of that, although there are very few firsts that are left. But it moved from there to a much more serious discussion of actual issues with which the community had to come to grips.
I think that we've really seen not only a change of topic and the way in which the topics are being dealt with, but we also just, the volume has magnified tremendously. We do try to keep abreast of the new publications that are books, too, and they're available for borrowing.
Right. I was going to mention another aspect of the Women's Resource and Career Planning Center is the lending library. We have probably now over 500 books that can be checked out for 1 week at a time, and these do include the Source Book Library on Women, which is a 50-volume complete history of the women's suffrage movement. Now, this particular set of books cannot be checked out, but certainly can be used in our office. I might mention very quickly here that we are open from 8 to 5, and we really enjoy people coming in and using the material at the office, too.
And starting in early October, the Women's Resource and Career Planning Center will be located in 222 Strong Hall.
But it's in the same suite.
Right.
We're moving because we've outgrown the space, which gives you some idea of the enormity of the amount of material which is coming in.
And we will not be closed during any time other than the day that we move the books, you know. But we will be going into a new facility for us at that time.
The career planning aspect of the Women's resource library includes not only books on different careers, but also graduate school catalogs, some of the information books on how to take the LSAT test, which is the law school admission test, or the medical exam test, etc., and also three very, very full file drawers of different pamphlets on, I believe, every conceivable career that exists. And these, of course, can be used in the office, and we urge people to do that also.
Yes, the professions and the Department of Labor have been most generous in providing us with some of these pamphlets and keeping them up to date.
Also, there is always a staff member available to talk with anyone about their particular concerns in the area of careers, but also in other areas, too. But we do like to talk with people who are thinking about either new careers or rethinking an old career, or just wanting to examine some different options for their lives. And this applies not only to students who may be looking for a, you know, what should I major in if I want to go in this into this career, particular career, but also for women who may be wanting to begin a new career midlife, midlife, or maybe wanting to change a particular career.
The setup of the Women's Resource Library is really very simple. A librarian, I suspect, would tell us that we're doing it wrong, but there's always someone there to explain exactly how to use those resources, and it's a simplified version. The key to the whole thing, of course, being the notebook system. Some of the items that Casey mentioned, for instance, the Equal Rights Amendment, there are probably, what, five volumes? So that you get a general history, too, of the from the very beginning of the effort to pass and to have ratified the Equal Rights Amendment, which is still not ratified, but was passed by the Congress in March of 1972 and has just five states to go for the final ratification, with every responsible organization, including labor unions, all women's organizations, having gone on record in favor of it, the President of the United States, the Congress, so that we hope it will not be long before this has become a reality. And, of course, at some point during the year, we'll be discussing this issue. In fact, probably a number of times in the Feminist News Digest that occur once a month, as Carol has pointed out. And not always the first Monday, however, because this is the first Monday of September, and it's next week that we'll try to bring things up to date on all of the issues that are current and that are the most concern to people in terms of their understanding and their possible intervention in bills that are before the Congress or the state legislature, which are of particular concern to women. We hope that that you will not be concerned over any lack of understanding of reference was made to Title IX. We need to explain in detail what Title IX is, since this is Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972. These guidelines are the regulations which say what this will mean. I mean, how it will be interpreted. And it is in a state of flux at the moment. The proposed guidelines have been issued, but everybody, all citizens, have a right to comment on them. And there will be then a final revision made after all the comments have been received.
And we will be devoting an entire program mm-hmm. to that topic in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. We'll also be bringing you news of conferences and seminars and institutes, which we're either personally sponsoring or co-sponsoring with other organizations. And We want to tell you that we also operate a speakers bureau, and we hope that no one will hesitate if they wish to have a program on this subject to let us know. If it's impossible for anyone in our office to come, we will make sure that someone is there who is properly informed and can speak to the particular topic that your organization is interested in. The reason I emphasize this is that yesterday I received a telephone call, one of many that come constantly, asking rather apologetically if it would be possible for someone to come to speak to the organization for which this woman was a program chairperson, apologetically because she said, "I know that all of you are very busy and I hate to bother you." Please know that we do not consider that we are bothered by any group or any individual who wants to talk with us or wants us to talk with a group of any size, small or large, on any issue that concerns women.
We've recently, well, within the past year, been also adding some media attractions to our Women's Resource Center. Can you see, want to describe some of those?
Well, we have several films now that we have been able to buy, and they will be available to student groups and also to community organizations. We may, if we are requested to do a program, we may bring one of these particular films or multimedia shows along with us to facilitate some of the discussion or the program. So those kinds of games and multimedia slideshows and films are also available. We hope to gather some more during this coming year also.
I think we do have a list that we could send to people if an organization were interested.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some organizations are interested in sort of the overall picture or in getting the membership more knowledgeable about the general movement toward equality in our society. Others are interested in something very specific, so that we get requests to talk about, say, what are the laws which people are using to assist with this process. Would like to have someone come and talk solely about this. So it doesn't matter whether you have a particular interest, whether you want to talk about legal issues, or about the Equal Rights Amendment, or about employment issues, or women's health, or marriage and divorce and family life, whatever it is, or politics. It can be a specific subject, or it can be an overall general subject.
We have a new brochure that Casey has just put together for the office that details some of the many things that we do, such as we've been trying to explain here. And we also would be more than happy to provide copies of the brochure to interested individuals or organizations if they would like to further go into the variety of materials and people mm-hmm. and opportunities that there are available in the Women's Resource and Career Planning Center.
And that's what it's called. If you wish a copy of this brochure, just send a postcard to 220 Strong Hall, asking for the brochure on the KU Women's Resource and Career Planning Center.
We've just proposed about three or four ways that they could send us postcards, but I think that's marvelous. Mm-hmm. They just write to us anytime.
All right, would you like to repeat the information in the very short time we have left as to how people can get in touch with us, either by telephone or by postcard or mail?
Certainly. Our address for inquiries about what we do or what is available through our resource center or suggestions for the radio show can be directed to Dean Emily Taylor, 220 Strong Hall, University of Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, 66045. Our telephone number is area code 913-864-3552.
Thank you. We appreciate your listening tonight. We hope that you will join us each Monday night at 7:30 for our new season on A Feminist Perspective.